Thanks, Kat. Great job on announcements. All right. Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Great, great, great. Good. What do I want to start with? I think I want to start with visitors. Kat did a great job. If this is one of your first 5 times at Evergreen, would you raise your hand? Be so bold. Okay, there's a lot of you. Welcome, welcome. Evergreen family, take note. Make sure to grab these people. Say hi. If you're new here, we have just an incredible community that does life together day in and day out. Even after church on Sundays, people hang out a long time here. And then we go to lunch, you know, around 4 o'clock. No, not quite. Feels like that some days, basically. But we go to lunch in different groups. So if you want to join for lunch, there's always groups going. So just hang out, ask people where they're going for lunch, or you can literally just sit on the couch and wait for someone to invite you. It works. So that's like the fastest way to get to know someone. I remember Bridget, who's over here on our slides, we love Bridget. Her very first Sunday at Evergreen, Alex was so kind and invited her to her birthday lunch. And pretty sure that kind of sealed the deal, huh? Just came into family, been family ever since. So God does incredible things through both these services and outside during the week. And there's so many aspects of the early church in 2022 that are evident here. And we just get to go from glory to glory. So we're glad that you're here. Something that I'd encourage all of our visitors, I know what it's like to be a church shopper. I know none of you have that mentality, but the idea is like you're trying to find a place, right? Where you belong, where you find family, where you feel connected, invested. And so I want to just encourage you to try out Evergreen for at least 4 to 6 weeks, because every single week we're a church that attempts to flow with the Spirit. So every week is pretty different in a lot of ways. And like even today, kind of getting that sense of God's peace and assurance at the end, and it's like different ways that God ministers and works in the body. And we love to have different voices up here speaking and sharing. So just want to encourage you to really get who we are, to come back at least for 4 to 6 weeks, and to try out our home groups as well, because that is an integral part of our church body. It's like we can be here, and in a sense, we're listening and we're all ingesting, but during the week when we're meeting in homes, it's life on life. We get to sharpen each other, call each other higher. So it's a beautiful thing here in Los Angeles to find family and to go deep together. So that's my 2-minute spiel. Let's go ahead and pray as we jump into the message. Jesus, I ask even right now that you come in power and authority, and that the words that I speak would not just be good ideas or be something that, you know, I felt like should be for today, but that you would actually bring your seeds of life into the seed beds and gardens of our hearts. Would you come in power, Holy Spirit? You are the one that illuminates and guides us and teaches us. And so more than anything, we want you to be our teacher today. And so just as we were singing, would you open us up to receive who you are, to be stretched to a greater level, to be more and more transformed into your very likeness, to represent you well. Do that deep work within us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to be honest with you, I was going to plan a little 10-minute snippet. That's really hard to do. Do you know that? Because you're like, I've got so much to say. So the 10-minute snippet turned into 10 pages, and then I really had to chop, 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 chop. But my hope today is to teach for just a moment, probably like 15 minutes or so is my hope. And then once we get a little bit of teaching in, we're going to break into groups. You know, I love kind of doing some things differently here. We've got chairs that can shuffle around. And so just wanted to put that on your radar, that we will be breaking into groups and discussing some questions around today's topic. So are you down for that? All right, all right. This series that we've been on is called Teachings That Changed Our Lives. So we've been sharing different core teachings that really impacted us as leaders. And our hope is to say, this is how I received the various teachings, how I ingested it, and how it looks in my life. And our hope is to bring you into that same revelation and see that sparked into your lives. And so last week, Richard did an incredible job talking about the finished works of the cross. If that is new language for you, that simply means when Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished, what did he mean? What was paid for by the death and resurrection of Jesus? So I'd encourage you guys to listen on our podcast to that message. Today, I'm going to be speaking on living from our heavenly identities. Living from our heavenly identities. I think it is no question that identity is something that needs to be driven home time and time and time again. And it's probably the greatest area of weakness that we see in this generation, not knowing who they are. And so they're tossed all around by various teachings, various philosophies, various lifestyles. And so what does it look like to know our identity in Christ? We as believers are living in a tension. Can you guys feel that sometimes? A tension in your lives? We're living in a tension between being beings who have been redeemed, are being transformed, and will be fully transformed in glory, living with the freedom and power of Jesus as new creations, having the identity of Jesus himself, yet still feeling trapped in sin, in shame, very aware of our own shortcomings and weaknesses. I'm sure only a couple of you can relate to that. We know the truth. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are pure, holy, righteous. We've been called and named saints. That is holy, set apart ones. And so we've taught time and time again, we're no longer sinners. That's not our chief identity. In fact, it's not our identity at all. We're called holy, blameless, pure saints. But what does it look like in our lives when you're like, you know what? My week didn't really look like I was a saint, Pastor. Forgive me now. What is missing? And when we think about our identities, we reflect on our personalities. Our personalities are who we are, blended with how we've been affected by our families growing up, blended with various elements of culture and environments that we're raised in, our education, as well as things that we've had to walk through, various traumas, challenges, difficulties, victories. All of these relationships and influences have impacted our personalities, either positively or negatively. The negative areas are pretty easy to identify. They often sway us into thinking that we are victims. They can cause us to be fearful of men's opinions, fearful of taking risks, disqualifying ourselves, wanting to find liberation from anxiety and stress, becoming cautious, hesitant, and the cycle continues, and eventually we're swayed into various choices, lifestyles, belief systems, because there's just not really a deeply rooted identity that was formed in this swirl of life. Yet, the positive parts of our personality are more grounded values that we've developed over time. It's the part of you that's adventurous, that's willing to take risks, the part of you that's trusting, less defensive, brave, the part of you that feels free and self-aware. And as believers in Jesus, we feel that being rooted and grounded in our relationship with him is everything. It's where there's that constant, abiding life source, where we see the fruit that comes from our lives is experienced through a rich connection with him. And we have eternal truth of who we are that comes from the living word. That living word, scripture, tells us over and over again who we really are in Christ. And it comes through our active living relationship with the Father. And so as we're walking through this life, much of what we're doing is learning to come into a closer relationship with God, where he's helping us heal from these negatives of our personalities, and he calls us into who we were really born to be. Are you guys tracking with me?
Yes.
Good. So in Romans chapter 12, right at the top of the chapter, verse 2, it talks about walking with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it says, don't be conformed to this world. What does that mean, not being conformed? It means don't let the world tell you who you are and who you need to be, who you should be, how to think. Don't let the world give you your purpose and your identity, because if you do, you're going to fall into performance. You're going to feel that you have to prove yourself. I'm sure none of you feel in this city that you have to prove yourself in any way at all. Do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed. And it tells us how. Yeah, I want to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind.
So good.
This is why. This is why you need the renewal of your mind. That you may prove the will of God. That which is a good and acceptable and perfect will. The hope here is that we'll be so connected to the heart of God that we know it, we know his vision, we know the purpose, and we will know through that connection his will.
Amen.
And then we get to prove it. We get to live our lives full of authority and power, releasing the kingdom of God from within us into this world around us.
So good.
And expand it to the ends of the earth.
Yes.
And all of this is to reveal who Jesus is.
Amen. Let's go.
The kingdom, the domain of the king being expanded outwardly through the life of Tommy, through the life of Anna, through the life of Matthew. What does that look like as the kingdom starts to expand?
So
the rule and reign and presence of heaven being manifest through your life and in every single setting that you step foot in. We get to prove what the will of God is. So here's the tension. We're constantly looking for who we are. With all of our positive and negative thoughts, we're very aware of our negatives, yet God's wanting us to be more and more aware of our true identities of how he sees us.
Yeah.
And who we are becoming. He's longing to renew our minds for us to truly be able to see from heaven's perspective. Not only see our obstacles and situations from heaven, but first and foremost, we have to see ourselves from heaven. It starts, the beginning, middle, and end point is our secure identities, seeing from heaven's perspective, and then living from heaven's perspective. So your true image is God's image alive in you. And he wants to be seen and expressed through each and every one of your lives. One of the most shifting revelations that we can have about ourselves is discovering what God actually thinks about us.
Yes.
Because we're in Christ, did you know that we are fully accepted with the Father?
So good.
Because we're in Christ, we discover that we are the beloved. We are fully loved, fully accepted. We are his obsession, that he only has good thoughts about you.
So good.
Some of you need to hear that today. God only has good thoughts about you. He is greatly pleased to pour out his favor upon you.
Wow, come on.
When we discover how he really sees us, we begin to understand that the way he relates to us is not from how we see ourselves, but always in the context of how he sees us. And then one of the greatest joys that we can experience in our life is when we begin to come into alignment with that heavenly identity. We've seen it, we start to know it, and the alignment starts to come actually in our lives. I want to talk briefly about Gideon from Judges chapter 6. I love the story of Gideon because Gideon I don't think he knew at all that he was a leader in the nation of Israel before the Lord happened upon him one day. In fact, the nation of Israel was kind of having a big skirmish with neighboring enemies, and Gideon actually was finding himself in hiding. And in the middle of his hiding, the angel of the Lord comes to him. And we find in Judges 6 that while he's hiding in the middle of his fear, it says in Judges 6:12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." I love that. I'm like, there's a shocker right there. Gideon, valiant warrior. It's nice to hear, God. Here's Gideon's response. "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, with Israel, why then has all this happened?" Have you guys ever experienced that before?
Yeah.
It's like God's speaking to you. There's like something that kind of feels out of left field. And you're like, I don't understand why this is happening in my life right now. Where were you here? Like, what are you talking about right now? Valiant warrior. You're giving me affirmation, but my mess is very clear in my life currently. I guess some can relate to such things by the ominous giggles in the front row. How has this happened to us? The Lord's abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. And the Lord looked at him. I'd love to see his face. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" So basically, Gideon's replying, "Hey, I'm super not qualified for this. My family is the least of these. We are not this great family in Israel. And I'm the youngest in my family." At that time, especially, the youngest was kind of written off, right? He's like, "I am not qualified, angel of the Lord." Do some of you feel a little unqualified in what you feel like God might be calling you to? Maybe you can relate to Gideon here. God comes in with one of his favorite lines. "Nevertheless." Nevertheless. In verse 16, the Lord said to him, "I will certainly be with you, and you will defeat Midian as one man." The authority and the truth of heaven came into this moment. The Lord doesn't come to him and say, "Hello, little weakling, who is the least in your father's house?" God comes and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon probably didn't feel like a mighty warrior. And how many times in our lives do we not feel equipped to what we are called to? How many times do we disqualify ourselves? "I don't have the money. I don't have the status. I don't have the friends." What do you feel disqualified from? But God is not intimidated about how you feel in the natural. He's here to help us get a revelation of how heaven sees us. "Go in your strength and deliver Israel." Why? "Because I've sent you." Did you know that being sent by God is enough?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Being sent by him is enough. Whenever he speaks a word, the power and the accompanying grace comes with the word to bring it about. And you are never left alone.
Amen.
No matter how you're feeling, you might not feel like a mighty warrior, but do you know you have a God who is a mighty warrior that is with you? "Nevertheless, I will be with you." So no matter what you're facing, no matter where you feel disqualified, you have the God of all gods with you, by your side, living from the inside. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has chosen to make you his dwelling place and saying, "I want to erupt from the inside and cause change through every step of your journey." It is not a time to disqualify yourself. It's a time to look from a heavenly perspective and say, "What does heaven say about me right now?" It's not cocky. It's from a place of humility then that you lay down where he comes to abound and fill you up and say, now stand, mighty man of valor. It's not about you. I know it's not about you. You've laid that down time and time again, but it's time for you to be fully filled with me. What does it look like for a life that is fully filled with me? I have made you my obsession, Tommy, and you from your heart have made me your obsession. Now, as you walk out, would you see the gates of hell shudder as you stand up? God loves to bypass all of our excuses and tell us who we are. And it's because of who he is. I'm here with you. I am here to release my grace and my strength. I am here to be a constant reminder of who you are. So when you start to let that light dim and forget who you really are, I'm here to remind you. It's called the Holy Spirit's voice that says, this is who you really are. Let's connect again to heaven and see once again. I'm patient. Let me speak once again into your life who you really are and who you were born to be. He moves us from a place of insecurity to a place of joyful vulnerability. It's dependency. I've been harping on this for a few months. Dependency, yieldedness. That's what it's about. You might not feel like a mighty warrior. You can come to him like a child. Come to him as you are. Not feeling fully equipped, but running into his arms of love. And from there, as a father speaks identity into his son and daughter, so he will speak identity into your life and see you raised up and to grow into maturity so that you can be a man or woman that goes out to bring the kingdom of God with power.
Yes.
It's so easy to see the stones and obstacles in our path. You see, I could do it, but these things right now in my life, these struggles, just, I can't get them out of the ground. I can't move past it. Thank God that's not how he sees it. He looks at our obstacles. He looks at our weaknesses. He sees the cycles of sin in your life. He says those areas, the way that I see it from heaven's perspective is that these are going to become pathways and stepping stones for me to come in and to reveal who I really am to you. Did you know that God actually gets excited about your weaknesses? Sounds like an oxymoron. Some of you are like, I think God's pretty ashamed of my weaknesses. And he says, come to me with your weaknesses. Come to me like a child with your weaknesses. Because it's in that place that I get to show up and be God to you. If you don't need me, if you're already strong, you're not thinking about that dependency. But when we have that dependency and trust, he says, I will reveal my nature to you. I will reveal to you who I really am. And I will be to you the very thing that you're lacking. And you will look back at me and raise your hands to heaven and say, I couldn't have done it in my own strength, but I saw God come through time and time again, and the revelation of his faithfulness will be so strong and anchored in your life that the next obstacle that comes, you will look back and say, this is who he's been every stepping stone of the journey. And in fact, that boulder in your path ends up becoming something that you can stand upon. And you can look from a higher perspective. And when others in your life are getting stuck at the very same boulder, you say, hey, let me show you how I got through this. Let me reveal to you the truths that I learned in this process to get you to a place where you can find freedom as well. Nothing is wasted in your life. No family drama, no trauma, drama, none of that. Mary J. Blige in the house. No more drama in your life. God's going to recycle all of it. The best recycler of all time, named Jesus Christ. Green earth, evergreen earth, wow. We're rolling it out, Oh man, the jokes are flowing today. Let's go. So long story short, we see Gideon the Lord spoke to him. There's actually a really, this part's not so much in our Sunday school lesson, but the angel of the Lord has Gideon prepare a sacrifice, puts it on a stone. The angel of the Lord lights it on fire and vanishes in midair. Maybe that's hard to put on a flannel graph. I don't know why they omit it. But what they do like in Sunday school is the story of the fleece. And the story of the fleece, if you're not familiar, is Gideon's going, hey, I'm still a little nervous that this is the Lord speaking. Did you really say this, God? I think you did. But can I try this out for a second? So what he does is he puts out a fleece two times. And it kind of goes back and forth. He puts out a fleece. One time the fleece is wet, everything else is dry. The other time he puts out the fleece is dry, everything else is wet with dew. And so he goes, that's enough for me. I believe the Lord. We're going to come in victory. If only it was that easy. Maybe some of you should try a little fleece in the morning. Give it a go. But what I think we can relate to, we hear God speak. He might even do something miraculous. But then we say, did God really call me to this? So he puts out the fleece. God is incredibly kind and patient with us. But he loves to reassure us that he's with us and gives us confidence about who we are. Kind of want to land it with this. When we're discovering our true identity, we find a radical permission from the Father. When we know who we are in Christ, we partner powerfully with heaven to bring the kingdom and push out the works of the enemy with our God-given authority. I was reading through Matthew 16. I love the passage. One day I would love for us as a church to go to Israel, whoever can go. And in Caesarea, there's this giant cave opening where people would call it the gates of hell. And they would do really perverse things at the gates of hell, as you can imagine. A lot of sacrificial things, sexual things. You can use your imagination, but only so much. And then, so this is where Jesus is like, field trip, disciples, we're going there. In Matthew 16, right in this district of Caesarea, he's asking his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they give what people are saying. Some people say that John the Baptist, some people say Elijah, some people say Jeremiah or the prophets. He says, but who do you say I am? Peter replied, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Talk about a passage of identity. Peter, who was very familiar with what had just happened in that moment, not so long after, betrays Jesus three times. His original name, Simon, means a reed that is tossed to and fro, but prophetically, Jesus calls him a rock before he starts acting like it. He calls into being the identity from heaven into earth before it had taken place. And from the place of being a son under the authority of the Father, that is the very place that we find the authority of God released through our lives. So that from that secure place, we can bind and loose whatever we feel the Lord has for us to bind and loose. It's the authority of the kingdom released through a life that knows who he or she is. So when God calls you into something, you might feel extremely disqualified. But in the task that he gives you, you're going to open up even more to who you really are. And he's going to help you step into that truth. God loves revealing to you your true identity. One reason that we love prophetic ministry so much is because in prophecy, God reveals how much he loves you. He reveals what he sees about you. And he gets to brag about you, his kids, in a public space and tell others, this is who my son and daughter really is. God speaks to who we are becoming. In our fragility, we continue to remind him, these are my current circumstances. This is what I'm trapped in. We tell him how we feel. But God, on the other end of the telephone, tells us who we are and how we're known in heaven. So I want to end with a couple practical steps for us. Number one, I want us to take time this week and write down some things in our life that are positive about our personality. That sounds nice, right? A little reflective time. These are positive traits about myself. But then I also want us to take time to write down the negative things about your personality, the things that you're struggling with. And the reason is because God is going to come in and he's going to overwhelm you with his grace and his love and his affection. He's going to show up for you and be for you what you feel that you're not. He is not intimidated by your weaknesses. He gets to show up and reveal to you who he really is. So we get to celebrate as a community progress, not just perfection. Because that's what he does. He celebrates our progress, not just our perfection. And I also want you to spend time this week asking the Father what he thinks about you. What does he say about you? Where is he calling you? Get out old prophetic words that he's spoken. Play them back time and time again. Pray through what God has called you to and see if you've disqualified yourself in any way. And here at Evergreen, we are building an environment where your true heavenly identities can flourish. We're learning to not just do this for ourselves, but in all of our relationships, begin to see God's heart and vision for those around us. We're learning to see with his eyes of redemption. We're seeing through our friends' various identities and difficulties, and we're calling each other higher into who we were really born to be. In fact, as we're all growing into our true identities, it's actually designed to be a relational process. Sometimes it's tempting to be like, you know, I like living in the city to a degree, I like having friends, but sometimes I just want to live, you know, far out in the country, just have a nice log cabin by myself. There's a little too much drama going on in my life right now. But we were actually designed for relationship. We were designed for the relational process. And we know and we love those around us, seeing with a great vision over their lives. And when they begin to let negativity and different areas of getting stuck arise in their lives and influence them, that's the place that we get to keep our grace activated, our love on, so to speak. And we get to say, hey, friend, this is who you really are.
Come on.
Don't let this small thinking weigh you down.
That's great.
I think about time and time again in this city, you know, like people come here with some big dreams and hopes. How many times are we actually created to call people higher?
Let's go. Come on.
We remind them who they actually are. Yeah. It's easy to look at the negativity and just call it out and rebuke it. That can easily turn into religion. But what does take intentionality is to connect to heaven when your friend disappoints you with their actions.
Let's go.
And to intentionally connect with heaven and say, how do you feel about this person right now?
Come on, yes.
What do you see about them right now? Right now, it's hard for me. My friend is wading into waters I don't want them to wade into.
Right.
But how do you see them right now?
Yeah.
And how can I call them higher?
Because
that's what they really want. They're just sinking into this, some foreign soil. They're getting outside that covering of the Lord for a moment. But you get to reach out their hand and say, hey, come back into the covering. Come back who you really are and who you're born to be.
Yes.
You're greater than this. Let me remind you of your destiny.
Yes.
Walking into your true identity was designed to be relational.
Yeah.
Now, because of that, we are going to practice that. So would you go ahead, Bridget or Kat, and put the questions up on the screen here. In just a moment, we're going to talk about areas of our identity in groups of four. If it's three or four or five, it's good with me. So in a moment, we're just going to take some time and intentionally talk through these areas, and we're going to pray into each other's lives. So we'll take about 15 minutes or so to do that. Just share the areas that you feel like God's highlighting. And let me pray, and then we'll break into those groups. Jesus, I thank you that we have the opportunity to be so connected to you and so connected to heaven, that when we feel stuck, when we feel stones in our path, when we feel chained down, we look up. We fix our eyes on you, and we say, how do you feel about me right now? What do you say about this situation? How do you want to call me higher and further? What is my true identity? And I ask that even in this 10, 15 minutes of discussion, that we would be able to really connect with the areas where we need that help and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Would you do that in our church body? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, on the count of three, you can break into your groups, and I'll give you a little end time as well. One, two, and three.